Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Is there translation needed? Can ask if anyone needs Kannada. Mostly Telugu, is it? Yeah. Bangalore is more Telugu than probably. Probably. Is there anyone who needs Telugu translation? I don't even know how to say it. Okay. Anyone else? Hindi? No. Every language is in Bangalore. So, translation of this song, of this verse. O Keshava, O Supreme Lord, who have assumed the form of a boar, O Lord, the planet Earth rested on your tusks, and it appeared like the moon engraved with spots. Vasati, in this context, means is situated. Dashana means tooth, or in this case, the tusk of Varaha. Shikare means on the point, at the end of the tusk. Dharani means the earth. Tava, your lagna, is stuck there. Shashini, now that's an interesting word. Shashi means the moon. But the earth is female. So she's Shashini. I don't think you'll find that word very often. The earth looks like the moon. With spots, Kalanka Kaleva, Kalanka with marks on her body. Nimagna means, here it's given engraved. So the earth is lifted up from the bottom of the universe, so it's got all, she's not very clean, you can say. She looks a little dirty. Keshava. O Keshava, Krishna, who has dhrita, who has taken, or is holding, the shukara rupa, the form of a boar or a pig, jai, all glories to you, Jagadish, Hare. Shukara, that means who makes su. So what does that mean? Makes very nice? No, it means one who makes a sound something like that. That's the meaning given in the dictionary. Makes a sound something like shoot, shoot. I never heard a pig made a sound like that, but someone did. Then Varaha means, Vara means very, very good. And Ahanti means to attack, so who's better watch out? He's good in attacking, very aggressive. So, Vara also means who gives or benediction. So, Varaha means who gives benediction, and Mahavaraha means who gives great benedictions. So, today I want to speak on Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. I've been going through speaking. I'm now on name 538, and the name is Mahavaraha, and it just coincides with the fact that we're fasting this morning on Ekadashi for Mahavaraha's appearance tomorrow on Varaha Dwadashi. So that's expeditious or serendipity or whatever way you want to call it. Good luck in easy English. So I'll speak on Mahavaraha. Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, our Gaudiya commentator on Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, gives the meaning of Varaha as who manifested the form of a gigantic boar, as large as a great mountain. So before I get into this in more detail, I want to say something about Mark Zuckerberg. You've all heard of him, right? Because he's one of the most famous people in the world due to Facebook. Generally not recommended for devotees, Facebook. Although it can have its preaching, can be used for preaching, but to me it seems to be mostly a bunch of nonsense. So anyway, a few months ago, I saw a news headline, and then it looked interesting, so I read it, that he said, "I am not a lizard." Why should he say, "I am not a lizard"? Any idea? Does anyone have any idea why he said he's not a lizard? He made a public statement, "I am not a lizard." That's right. There was a film, how many years ago? 20 years ago, E.T., which showed some lizard-like humanoids. I never saw the film, but it, you know, it's just such a big thing that you can't help getting to know something about it, even if you're not in the slightest bit interested. So some lizard-like humanoids, I don't know what they did. They came to Earth, I suppose. That's why it's called E.T. extraterrestrial. So some people think that that film is just to prime us for the fact that actually there are lizards, lizard-like humans who have invaded the earth, and they're interbreeding with humans here, and they're taking over the world. And some people think that Mark Zuckerberg is one of these lizards. He's not really a human. Apparently he looks something like a lizard. So he came with a public statement, "I am not a lizard." Now, isn't that a stupid idea? Isn't that an incredibly stupid idea that lizards have lizard-like humans have invaded the earth and they're taking over the earth, and Mark Zuckerberg's one of them? Isn't it stupid? What do you think? Yes, no, maybe, not sure, not interested. We can take a survey. I don't think we need to. It's such a stupid idea. It's amazing anyone could take it seriously. It's just crazy. But enough people were making this propaganda, maybe on Facebook, that he felt it necessary to make a public statement that I am not a lizard, which for the people who think he is a lizard probably wouldn't convince him at all, wouldn't convince them. Now, how could any intelligent, I suppose most of these people are in America. Americans, most people think they're intelligent until you go to America. Well, I guess Mark Zuckerberg's intelligent. Or maybe he's a lizard, and that's why he's intelligent. They're not, the Americans aren't intelligent. Anyway, why am I bringing this up when we're supposed to be speaking about Varaha Dev? Well, that's a really stupid idea. But then there are plenty of people in America also who are intelligent, not, most of them not born in America, and they're in America because they're more intelligent than the Americans. That means Indians with good brains who get out to America as software engineers, and they believe in Varaha Dev. And there are many intelligent people. You're all intelligent people here by the standard of intelligence in India is that you can speak English. That means you have minimal intelligence. So you all believe, and there are plenty of people who believe, that there was a massive pig who lifted up the earth on the edge of his tusk. Now that's more bizarre, you could say, if you want to speak in terms of what we learn at school. There was nothing, and then nothing exploded, and it exploded so fantastically that the whole universe came into being, and it was all gaseous, and then some of it condensed, and then it made blobs which became planets, and there were chemicals floating around, and the chemicals, anyway, to make a long story short, the chemicals turned into human beings, and they have to go to school so that they can learn all these scientific things. If you go to school and learn all these things, then you will think that this story of Varaha Avatar, you should think is nonsense. So why is it that the Zuckerberg being a lizard is just, we reject it as nonsense, at least I do. I mean, it could be true, but then, you know, practically anything could be true. And why do we accept that there's Varaha Avatar? Okay, question for all of you. Why should we accept that there's pigs? Do you have pigs running around in Bangalore? It's too sophisticated. Yeah? Yeah? They are still here. They didn't get that sophisticated yet that they cleared the pigs out. They probably cleared the cows out. Is it? Cows are running around in Bangalore? Yeah, some. Okay. So, we know how big a pig is. And it's not big enough to pick up. They run on the earth. They're not picking up the earth. So why can you believe that there's a pig who can pick up the earth? Well, I'll tell you why I accept it. I accept it because Prabhupada said so. And Srila Prabhupada says so on the basis of Shastra. And Prakyata Daiva Paramartha Vidangmataischa. All the great personalities who have followed the Shastra tradition, who by their character and their purity are definitely on a level of transcendental knowledge, they all accept it. So we don't know what's going on in this world. Maybe there is an invasion of lizards. We don't know. How can we know what achintya khalu ye bhavana tans tarkena yojya prakritebhya parang yajcha tad achintyasya lakshanam. We don't know what's going on in this world, and we'll never know by our own brains. However much you study science, they're quite convinced they have the scientific answers, but it's not scientific to say that there was nothing and nothing exploded. That's not scientific. That's a belief in something inconceivable. So ultimately the scientists, atheistic scientists, and the devotees come to the same point. We accept that there's something beyond our conception behind everything. So we accept Shastra as the revealed knowledge of what is going on in and beyond the universe. And we accept that it's beyond our ability even to conceive of. We can't even conceive of a creature so big that it can pick up the earth. But then, if it was something that we could conceive, then it wouldn't be inconceivable. And it is inconceivable. How everything is here, it's inconceivable. It's not, there's no there's no conceivable explanation. Whether you take, even if you take a completely materialistic explanation, well, that's also inconceivable. How can it be just matter? So we accept Shastra, we accept the Acharyas, and we accept the glory of Varaha Dev. Mahavaraha means he's. Varaha is mentioned in Bhagavatam. Not only Varaha Bhagavan, also Vidvaraha. Vidvaraha means a stool eating hog. That term comes in the Bhagavatam. So this is Mahavaraha. There's a very big difference. He's much bigger, much, much bigger, much, much, much bigger. Just yesterday, the day before, one man came to me and he told me he's an old man, 85 years old. He told me he'd been to when he went to Coimbatore for the first time. Then his landlady or something, she'd ask him, "Have you seen the sea?" He said, "Yes, I heard it's very big. How big is it?" This is Kupamandukyanai, the same as the frog in the well logic. But it actually happened to him, so he told him. He said, "Well, it's very big. It's as big as you can see and much bigger still. And there's some lake there in Coimbatore." So he said, "Well, is it bigger than the lake?" "Oh, yeah, much bigger. How many times bigger? 5 times bigger." No. "Hundreds, thousands, millions of times." She couldn't believe it. Frog in the well. The classic frog in the well. How much bigger? How much bigger is Varaha? It's beyond our ability to imagine how big he is. He's no ordinary hog, that's for sure. He's the Supreme Lord. He's the third in the Dashavatara. How do you say that in Kannada? Dasavatara? In Hindi they say Dasavatara. Das. In Sanskrit it should be Dash. Sha. In Kannada also? Sha. Yeah. Hindi, they're lazy. So, the Sri Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam gives a description from the Vishnu Purana of Mahavaraha. Tatasamut Kshipya dharam svadangstraya mahavaraha sputa padma lochanaha rasatala tat utpala patra sanniva samuttito nila ivachalo maham. The great Varaha Bhagavan, who is called here Padmalochan, not just Padmalochan, but Sphuta Padmalochan, means his eyes are like fully opened lotuses, so beautiful. You never hear anyone, if a man says to, here in Bangalore, it's all boyfriend, girlfriend, right? So if the man says to his girlfriend, "You have eyes just like a pig," she won't be very happy. But his eyes, so in this way, he's Mahar also, he's all good qualities. So his eyes are as beautiful as a opened, blossomed lotus. And his complexion is like that of a blue lotus petal. Specifically mentioned blue. So sometimes he's showing blue. Although generally, at least in this kalpa, he's Shveta Varaha. He's the white Varaha. Sometimes he's white, sometimes he's red. And sometimes, because he's Vishnu after all, he's blue. He lifted the earth from the Rasatala. Hare Krishna. by his tusk and emerged looking like a great blue mountain. So this, specifically, the eyes of Varaha are very beautiful. It's described elsewhere, even in the Divya Prabandham. Krishna also plays, he plays so many games, Krishna in Vrindavan. So sometimes he plays Varaha Avatar games. And when Krishna plays Varaha Avatar games with his friends, he actually takes the form of Varaha. Some children may play, nowadays they don't do that, but they only play computer games, that's all. But or they play cricket. But previously they used to play Ram Avatar. Krishna also used to play Ram Avatar. Then the gopis came and said, "Oh, you're just imitation. You're not a real Ram. The real Ram, he can build a bridge with floating stones." So Krishna had to make some floating stones on the Pavana Sarova to show, "You see, I am the real Ram." So they said, the only thing you have in common with Ram is that you have a bunch of monkeys around you. So they insulted him like this. So Krishna took the actual form of Varaha. The Varaha Purana is very important, Purana, Sattvic Purana, which Varaha Dev speaks to Bhumi, his wife. See, men are supposed to speak to their wives because they're supposed to learn everything in the Gurukul. Girls don't go to Gurukul. But then when the boys come back, they marry, and then they're supposed to speak everything to their wife. So in this way, the husband's supposed to be the guru. So in there, Varaha Dev, that's all, it's a Vaishnava Purana, and it's full of glorification of Vishnu, how to worship Vishnu, and genealogies and all this kind of thing. So in there, there's an important section in which Varaha Dev praises Mathura and the Yamuna, and Varaha Dev himself, he came to, after he had lifted the earth, he was feeling a bit tired, so he came onto the earth, onto Mathura, and rested, and that place is known as Vishram Ghat, which is also where Krishna rested later after killing Kamsa. So it has a long history. If you'd like to worship Varaha, then you can get a form as Varaha. It's Sarupya Mukti. There's Varaha Loka, where all the devotees, they have a form of a transcendental boar. So many people in this world, they're going to become pigs in their next life, quite likely. But you can also become a transcendental pig by worshipping Varaha. That's described. That those who are in Tamaguna, they take the form of a pig, and those who are Shuddha Sattvic and worship Varaha, they go to Varaha Loka, and they like to worship him there. Varaha's described in many shastras, and the story is given a little bit differently in different shastras. So the foolish materialistic scholars, they will say that actually it's a folk legend and different people wrote it down in different ways. No, that's not right. The fact is that Varaha Dev's avatar, it's a fact, but he appears in different yugas, different days of Brahma. So his leela may be a little bit different every time. Krishna leela also, it's pretty much the same every time, but a little bit different also, just like Sanatana Goswami, I believe it is, he says that sometimes Krishna, when he leaves Vrindavan, he goes to Mathura, not with Akrura, but he rides on Kaliya. He makes Kaliya into a horse and rides on Kaliya and goes like that. So it may be a little different. He doesn't have to do, he's not bound to do everything the same every way. Now, if we take the version of the scholars that the Vedas came first and the Puranas came later, which even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes seems to accept that. And that may be true in some sense, in as much as from our perspective, certain shastras are manifest at a certain time and others are manifest later. The shastra is all eternal. Just as Veda is eternal, Puranas are eternal. But they're sometimes manifested and sometimes not manifested. So if we take that, then the earliest versions of Varaha Leela are in the Vedas, Taittiriya Aranyaka and Shatapatha Brahmana. So the earth was filled with the primordial waters. You see, there was primordial waters. Then all the planets came out. So maybe the scientists got it a little bit right. And they say that the earth was the size of a hand. So even an ordinary vidvaraha could pick up something the size of a hand. And was trapped. And it says the god Prajapati, which the scholars identify with Brahma, but Prajapati also means Vishnu. It's also a name in the Vishnu Sahasranam. He goes into the waters and brings up the earth, and he marries the earth afterward. So that's the Ramayana, Vishnu Purana. They directly associate Varaha with Vishnu. So various Puranas describe Varaha Leela with various differences. Agni Purana, Bhagavat Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, Padma Purana, Varaha Purana, Vayu Purana, and Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Purana has all the dashavataras. That's where we get this. So the story is, more or less, you all know, I presume, that Jayan Vijay, the doorkeepers at the first gate of Vaikuntha, they were cursed by the four Kumaras to be born as Asuras. They are born on earth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, twin sons of Kashyapa and Diti. Hiranyaksha was born first, but Hiranyakashipu is the oldest. That's Vedic gynecology, I guess you could call it. They understand that the first drop of semen reaches first and comes out second if there are twins. So it's very advanced science. So Hiranyakashipu was older. Which is not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, but mentioned in other Puranas, that Hiranyaksha, he also got much power by performing austerity, just like Hiranyakashipu did later. And he was blessed by Brahma with a boon that he couldn't be killed by any human and various animals. But he didn't mention a pig, because he thought, just like Ravana thought, he didn't take the boon that I won't be killed by a human. He thought, I eat humans for breakfast. They're not going to kill me. Just like you wouldn't. It's not like in the army, if you join the Indian army, they don't train you how to protect yourself from chickens. Is it? I don't think so. They eat chickens for breakfast. They don't take training in defense from chickens. It's not a chicken, you know, it's just ridiculous. So in the same way, Ravana thought, no man's going to kill me. I eat them. If I see any humans, I just pick them up and chuck them in my mouth. So it's ridiculous. So in the same way, Hiranyaksha didn't take a boon that he wouldn't be killed by a pig. So the next time Hiranyakashipu was more careful, and he said, I won't be killed by any animal or any human. Now that Vishnu won't be able to, because then Vishnu took the form of Varaha and killed Hiranyaksha. He was too puffed up. So, and Hiranyakashipu became more intelligent, but he can never imagine how intelligent is Vishnu. So the earth, she was, there are different versions. In one, she calls out with distress to save me, save me, as Hiranyaksha snatches her and throws her down, because the earth is supposed to be the place where godly people perform yajnas, and then the devas get strength from that. So to minimize the strength of the devas, which the daityas always want to do, she thought, well, if we throw the earth down into the nether regions, and then we won't even have to bother stopping all the brahmanas doing sacrifices, it'll automatically be cut out. So it was a great plan to stop all the power of the devas, because they require to be offered yajna, so they get strength from that. So it was a great plan. So the earth called out, and Vishnu came to save her. In another, she takes the form of a cow and goes to Vishnu to rescue her from the demon. In some variants, the gods led by Brahma go to Vishnu for help. In some versions, she just because the mountains are so heavy, she just fell down. That's why Indra, he also came and cut down the mountains. Or Hiranyaksha isn't mentioned, just due to the torture that she was so distressed by the demons that she just like fainted and fell down. So Vishnu comes in the scene as Varaha. Srimad Bhagavatam describes how he emerges as a little, comes out of the thumb size from one of the eight nostrils of Brahma and starts to grow and then becomes huge. And then the devas, they realize that he's Vishnu. Says that he's dark like a rain cloud in complexion. His body is the size of Antariksha. That's the size of the, that's the space between the earth and the space, the real space. His roar is very frightening. So, then he has a fight with Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha mocks him. Varaha ignores Hiranyaksha, takes the earth on his tusk. Hiranyaksha charges toward Varaha with a mace, saying, hey, you just can't. He just ignores him. And Hiranyaksha says, hey, you just can't take away the earth. That belongs to me now. I took it. You have to fight. So Varaha turns, okay, you want to fight? All right. Okay. And 1,000 years they fight. And in the end, Varaha just gives him a little touch with his, after fighting with clubs, boom, 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 back and forth for 1,000 years, Varaha thinks, okay, enough. just touches him and he dies. And then, surprise, surprise, Bhudevi falls in love with Varaha. When a woman is rescued by a valiant man, she falls in love with him, as happened with Yayati and Devayani. So she fell in love with him, he married her and made her one of his wives. Of course, she's his eternal wife, but this is all Leela, Vishnu Leela. In one version, they're loving each other so vigorously that she becomes exhausted and falls back again in the water, and again he has to pick her up. Due to their contact, she gave birth to Narakasura. He's directly the son of Vishnu, but he's a demon. But Bhudevi didn't want to tell anyone because she hadn't been officially married to Varaha. So no one knew that she's the mother and Varaha is the father. Vishnu is the father. So she didn't tell that to anyone until Krishna had killed him. Who killed Narakasura? Krishna. Krishna came and killed. So afterwards, Bhudevi, who came, generally when Krishna goes out to fight, it's all men, but this time he brought Satyabhama. When Satyabhama wants something, Krishna can't say no. He has to go all the way out to the heavenly planets, fight with Indra, just to bring some tree, some flowers. So she's a very pushy woman. So she came, and she is also Bhu. Satyabhama is Bhu, Bhu Shakti. So she's non-different. So Krishna killed him anyway. And that goes to show that even if someone's born in a family of demons, like Prahlad, Prahladas Chasmi Daityanam, he's accepted by Krishna if he's a devotee. But if it's his own son, if he acts like a demon, then Krishna's willing to kill him. So Varahadev is an animal form and they're of the Lord. That's what we say. Actually, the animals, they are facsimiles of Vishnu. Just like in the Bible it said, man is, what is it, formed in the image of God. It's a famous saying from the Bible. You know that? You went to a Christian school? What is it? Man is something in the image of God. Made in the image of God. So the atheists say, you know, it's round the other way, that people invented God to be like a man. Some big man in the sky, sitting on the clouds, throwing people into hell. So that's called anthropomorphism, to imagine that God is a man. So this is zoomorphism, they say, to imagine God as an animal. So using that terminology without accepting the implications of it, translating zoomorphic into Telugu, you could say Pashvakriti, in the form of an animal. But they wouldn't understand that either. So there are various deities of Varaha, Some are zoomorphic, fully zoomorphic, which means that they're the form of a pig. Deities and paintings in our Bhagavatam, under Srila Prabhupada's direction, the artists, they drew Varaha fully in the form of a boar. But there are deities and paintings of him with the body of Vishnu, man-like body, and the head of a boar. Now, Varaha is number 3 in the Dashavatar. The number 1 is Matsya, number 2 is Kurama. And these forms, they're also sometimes shown. That means that they sometimes appear in different forms. It's not just some artist's imagination. So sometimes they're shown fully with the fish form, fully with the tortoise form, and sometimes they're shown with the body of a fish and the head of Vishnu, or the body of a tortoise and the head of Vishnu. But Varaha in a mixed form is shown generally with the body of Vishnu and the head of Varaha. So there's some difference there. Although, the first non, or the in-between form, you can say, is the next one, Narahari. Narahari means, Nara means man, and Hari means lion. In the name Narahari, Nara means man, and otherwise then Krishna's Narahari. If you say Hari in this sense means Vishnu, then Krishna is also Narahari. But Hari is also a word which means lion. If you don't believe me, go and look it up in the Sanskrit dictionary. So it means man-lion. Nrisimha, Narasimha, Nrikeshari. Keshari is another name of a lion. So these are all names for Nrisimha Dev, Hare Krishna. So Narasimha is the first form who's not completely an animal. And then, again, that's from our perspective. He's not an animal. He's the source of all animals. So there are many deities, and they often show the earth on the tusk. Hare Krishna. How are we losing? How is that? What's going on? The sound is fading in and out. How is that? Don't know. So they often show the earth on the tusk. So that's exactly in this Leela. That's why he came to this world. This Vasati Dashana Shikare Dharani Tava Lagna. On the earth is situated on the point, specifically said on the point of his tusk. So often the deity or the painting is shown with Bhumi Devi. Sometimes she's shown as the deity Bhumi Devi, sometimes as the earth. Now this is very interesting because there's a discussion going on among... There's always different controversies going on in and around ISKCON. So now the temple of Vedic planetarium is to be made, showing the Vedic cosmology. And the question is the earth a globe or is it flat? And some say that according to Shastra, the earth is flat. And then others say, no, it's round. We have that term, geography is bhugol. Bhugol means round. So if we look at ancient iconography, we'll find that Varahas, and actually we have in the Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada said, to paint Varaha with the earth shown as a globe. But they're also showing the earth as flat, with mountains and trees and rivers and all this kind of cities. So it seems that this controversy has been going on for a long time. Is the earth globular, or maybe round, but on a plane? They may be round in that way also, in two dimensions. Of course, ultimately there must be three. There's no such thing as two dimensions, philosophically speaking. Because there's no such thing as a point, philosophically speaking. Anyway, that's another discussion. So it often, sometimes it shows the different representation, sometimes shows Hiranyaksha being trampled under Varaha's feet, often shows the Nagas and Naginis, because the Naga Loka is just below the earth, the planet of the snakes. Because the snakes come out of the earth, right? If you go down a snake hole, you might go right down to the next Loka, because the snakes, they have their own abode just below the earth. The snakes, especially the wives of the snakes, they're devotees of Vishnu, many of them, as we find in Kaliya Leela. Generally, the snakes, they're not, snakes means they're envious, but the wives are often good, as we find in Kaliya Leela. And also, Arjuna married a snakeess, Ulipi. He was bathing in the river and pulled him down, said, "I want to marry you." So he married her. Two forms of Varaha that have been very popular, that are shown, iconographical forms. One is Yajna Varaha. He's seated on a Singhasana, lion throne, with Bhudevi and Lakshmi. So that's standard, isn't it, for all Vishnu forms here in South India, in the Sri Vaishnava temples. Sri and Bhu. So that's Yajna Varaha. Another form is Pralaya Varaha, because he rescued her from the water. So the Pralaya, at the time of Pralaya, there is inundation of water. Pralaya payo di jale. Water of devastation. So he rescued her from that. So it's just like the devastation, pralayam. And in those representations, he's shown only with Bhudevi. And sometimes also only with Lakshmi and not with Bhudevi. Now, in the commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's stated that there are five Varahas, five manifestations of Varaha. The first is who appeared from Brahma's nostril at the beginning of creation, lifted the earth, put her on the Garbha ocean, and then left. That's described in Bhagavatam. You've all read that, I hope. If you haven't read it, then get your Bhagavatam. If you don't have a Bhagavatam, get a set of Bhagavatam and read it. And you'll find in the third canto is a description of Varaha Dev, how he picks up the earth and deposits her on the Garbha ocean. So this is Shveta Varaha, which means white Varaha. And that happened in this day of Brahma, this kalpa, we're in the Shveta Varaha kalpa, in this particular day of Brahma, that you know, whenever there's this any Vedic ceremony, Shveta Varaha kalpa. Which is also, is it? I believe it's the first day of the month. Now, the second Varaha was Rakta Varaha, who's the red form of the Lord. This is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, purport, who saved the earth when there was a partial devastation, killed Hiranyaksha, and then went to Swargaloka. Now, departing a bit from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita commentary, I'll go to the Srimad Bhagavatam commentary of Sridhar Swami, which Prabhupada translates, and he says that in the Bhagavatam, the appearance of Shveta Varaha and Rakta Varaha, the two stories are combined as if it's one story, but actually, the story in the Bhagavatam, it's not, it is exactly like that, but it's two appearances of Varaha. Because in both of these appearances, the Lord picked up the earth who was plunged in the water. They're described in a single narration. Now, getting back to the description of five Varahas, the third is Yajna Varaha. Now, we'll find in the Bhagavatam that when Varaha appears, the demigods and the rishis, they pray to him as Yajna Varaha. But he has his own appearance as, he also has his own appearance as Yajna Varaha. It means that he, as Yajna Varaha, he's called Yajna Varaha because he's the very embodiment of Yajna. He taught how to perform Yajna. How does anyone know how to do Yajna? Because Yajna Varaha, first of all, taught that. Then he lifted the earth, he spoke to her the Varaha Purana, and then he left by his own mystic power. The fourth form of the Lord is also intimately connected with the earth. We find the pigs are intimately connected with the earth. They're always putting their snouts in the earth, and with their tusks they dig up the earth to see if there's anything to eat. So in the fourth form, he took the earth and made the earth even by grinding down the big mountains with his tusks. And in this form, the earth took the form of Varahi, another of his consorts. Varahi. She's actually Bhudevi, but she's known as Varahi. Then, Varaha, he didn't actually leave the world. He's still here, but he merged into the form of Nrsimhadev. In Simhachalam, there's the deity of Lakshmi, Varaha Narasimha. Because Varaha, in this form, he was Varaha, he went into the pillar, he came out as Narasimha. So Varaha Narasimha. You can understand why the two, why it's called Varaha, the deity there, the name is Varaha Narasimha. And in the fifth form, he holds up the earth from below. So he's very intimately connected with the earth. And that's some, there are more names of Varaha Dev in Vishnu Sahasranam. In the verse previous to this, the name came up, Medinipati. Then there's Dharani Dhara, Bhugarbha. I can't remember. There are some more which I don't remember just now. They're all names of Varaha. Whenever we see names of the Lord connected with the earth, they're all names of Varaha Dev. So this is the form who's very intimate. I spoke on that Medinipati recently in Sri Rangam, how this whole earth is worshipable. She's our mother. Vishnu is the father. In modern life, we're cut off from the earth. So we don't see our father. I'm going to take a short break. And Hare Krishna. See you in 2 or 3 minutes.